Welcome and thank you all for standing by. All lines are open and interactive. You may mute your phones by pressing star 6 to mute and star 6 again to unmute. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'd like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Stephanie Bagot.
Thanks, Becca. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the final session in 2011's RTC and Jazz Open Mic Series. The topic today is Calm with 3.0 Jazz products. My name is Stephanie Bagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Carolyn Tampino. Carolyn is the program director for strategic offerings focused on IT software delivery. She leads teams in defining, developing, and delivering strategic offerings to help IT organizations decide what to invest in, develop what they decided, and deploy what they just did. She is a member of the OM leadership team at IBM Rational, working closely with the Jazz team leads to define the collaborative lifecycle management roadmap and strategy. She is author of The 5 Imperatives for OM, co-author of an e-book titled Scaling Agile with Collaborative OM, and an IBM Redbook entitled Collaborative Application Lifecycle Management with Rational Products. She was the founding member of the team defining strategies for Rational and Tivoli product integrations and contributed to Rational's acquisition of Buildforce. Prior to IBM, Carolyn was the Director of Project Management, Development, and Competitive Intelligence at BroadVision Incorporated. We will be having a web conference today with presentation material. To join, please go to www.webdialogs.com/join, conference ID 3133836. Carolyn will be sharing her knowledge throughout the hour, but all lines are open, so please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, Carolyn. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Thank you, Stephanie. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Today I thought we'd talk about three primary areas. One, we'll talk a bit about the market and what how we're positioned within the market, what the challenges are, what the industry analysts and some of our customers are saying about the solutions that we bring to the market. We'll spend some time talking about the 5 imperatives for application lifecycle management, and then we'll introduce some of what's new with the IBM Rational solution for collaborative lifecycle management. So I think, you know, on this first slide, we're all pretty much facing the complexity challenges of software today. Software is everywhere. Literally, it's in the devices all around us. You just look all around your home, within your office. There's surely some form of device with software running on it, as well as incredible systems running in complex data centers, conducting millions or billions of transactions a day. Businesses are literally run based on the software that we're creating. But in that world, things are becoming or are already really quite complex. And so as organizations were faced with challenges such as trying to reduce costs, there are increasing mandates around managing risk and governance and compliance to ensure that the software that we're developing and building lives up to certain requirements and regulatory needs. We are globally distributed. Our teams are working around the world, and we're trying to understand how we can develop relatively complex systems of systems with teams of people who are geographically dispersed with varying levels of talent and skills and the various complexities of working in multiple locations. And within all of this, you know, while it is challenging, there's also opportunity. The opportunity of organizations to kind of step back and rethink how you build software, look at how do we do this better, how do we become a more efficient organization, and how do we capture best practices and fill them into our organization so that we can be both more efficient but also delivering higher quality software, and hopefully in an environment that is healthy for all of the team members who are contributing to the development of that software. And so when we talk to our clients, we tend to see three pretty big life cycles, if you will, or areas of focus. The first focus is just deciding what to do. When you're faced with this amount of complexity, having some help and guidance around how to make strategic decisions. What do I invest in? What do I de-invest in? Some of the common challenges we see is in large global corporations where multiple acquisitions have happened. Many times in an IT organization, you have multiple applications that do the same thing. A simple example being multiple HR systems, especially when you do acquisitions like that. And so you're then faced with the challenge of we have 3, 4, 5 different applications that are pretty much doing the same thing, but I really want to consolidate on one. They're all different enough. How do I choose which one I want to invest in? How can I safely de-invest from the others and consolidate around one of those applications? And there's a life cycle of activities and people, a process around that for making strategic decisions. Then once you do make those decisions, you then fall into the life cycle of actually executing against that decision, where you're either developing an application or that development process might actually be you're decommissioning an app. And so there's a whole life cycle of activity there where you essentially develop the thing that you just decided you were going to do. And then when you finish the development cycle, you'd fall into the deployment cycle, which then takes that software that you've developed and you want to deploy that out into production. And these are overlapping life cycles of activity. They're all interrelated. Decisions that I make up front need to flow into the development cycle. And as I'm developing, I need to be thinking longer term about how I deploy this software and what the ramifications are into deployment. And so all of these are then bound by an overriding interest in an organization to essentially improve on both the individual life cycles, but in that life cycle as a whole.
Carolyn,
yep.
Some of us are having problems seeing your slides. Are you still on the first one, or have you changed?
I changed. I'm on a slide that says, clients seek expertise and solutions in the following areas with decide, develop, and deploy life cycles.
Okay. There's a couple of us that just see white screens. Could you try resharing it?
Yep, let me do that. Is that any better?
No, I can't see anything.
Yes, yeah, we can. We're able to see it.
Okay, great.
Slide is at 4.
This is slide 4, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thanks. Now I'm wondering if some aren't able to see it, but I guess we'll go on. And if you're having troubles, please let Stephanie know, and Stephanie will let me know. So within this realm, strategic decision making, we tend to look at this as enterprise architecture and portfolio management. When we get into the develop lifecycle, we look at that as application lifecycle management, which is a primary focus of today's discussion. And then when we get into deployment, we're talking about deployment planning and automation. So for today's conversation, we'll talk about application lifecycle management. So lifecycle application management being a market, it's a space where vendors provide solutions to help you get better at this discipline of managing your teams throughout the application lifecycle. You've decided you want to invest in it, you are going to develop it, you want to deploy it into operations. And when we talk about collaborative lifecycle management or the IBM Rational Solution for collaborative lifecycle management, this is a solution that we offer into that market. So it's one of our ALM solutions. And for this conversation, this particular solution focuses on the combination of an integration of Rational Team Concert, Rational Quality Manager, and Rational Requirements Composer. This is just one of several ALM solutions that we offer at Rational. We also have solution that's targeted for our systems customers that's focused on ALM. So this would be customers who are developing devices where software is embedded on that device and running. And so we also have solutions for our customers who are engaged in enterprise modernization, where you're working with the various IBM platforms, enterprise platforms such as P or Z. And so combinations of products that help you manage teams of people through the development lifecycle. And so if we go to the next slide, I'm now on slide 5, you'll see here that according to many industry analysts who are looking at this space, IBM is rating. We're always in the top tier of the various ratings, whether it's Forrester, Gartner. Here you see the Gartner Market Scope, where IBM's the only strong positive, and so forth. So we are always talking to our industry analysts. Industry analysts are talking to all of the vendors in this space and rating and ranking and comparing the various vendors and the solutions that we have to provide. So we are clearly one of the leaders. We earned the strong positive from Gartner, and here you see some of the kind of quotes they have here. It's the efficient coordination and automation of the delivery process, which requires new collaborative approaches to planning, measurement, execution, control, and reporting of activities. So kind of a different approach and fresh thinking as to how we manage teams within this complexity, and taking into account that we do have global teams and that software really is the result of many conversations among many people where you're making decisions all along the way. And so having a collaborative platform such as what we provide with the Rational Solution for Collaborative Lifecycle Management helps teams to work across these boundaries by capturing all their conversations digitally, and therefore the geographic boundaries tend to not matter. And so in terms of customers and how the response has been from our customers, we're getting overwhelmingly positive response from the solution. Jazz platform is a game changer, seeing amazing sort of collaborative effect. And we even see within IBM, for some of our teams, they introduce a product like Rational Team Concert, and it takes off virally within the organization. People just adopt it because of the collaborative capabilities, because of the out-of-box dashboards, and just the way it makes a team's job that much easier to be able to work together and develop the software that they're looking to develop. And so let's move into the 5 imperatives for application lifecycle management. And we'll start with what is application lifecycle management. I think I've spoken to this a bit, but I really like to look at it as a discipline. It's a discipline that teams develop because you want to manage the flow of people. You want to make your process more efficient to enable teams to work together better, but to also institute enough governance around how you manage that life cycle to help streamline it and help ensure that the teams are working together, sharing information. And a big part of that is the information sharing across the people. You know, all of the work, you know, as I said, software is the result of many conversations. So if the business analysts understand the needs of the business, that collaboration and flow of information from what the analysts see as being the priority, sharing that information with the rest of the team so the development teams understand that priority, the testers understand the priorities, is critical to the success of the business. And you share this information and this collaboration occurs in an iterative cycle of activities. You do multiple iterations. With each iteration, you want to have working software that demonstrates some of the key priorities of the release, that you could then review that with your stakeholders, take their feedback, and develop the next iteration. And so it's really this coordination, and it's a discipline. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a team working together to really begin to gel. But it's you know, with any discipline, having tools that help make that easier become paramount to the success of the team. It's difficult to collaborate with team members around the world if you don't have tools that help you to collaborate. It's difficult to share that information if you don't have the tools that help you share the information. It's even harder to try to enact a process across a global team if you don't have the software development tools that help you enact that process. Many of us for process sometimes rely on the process police, the individuals who go around trying to make sure people are adhering to the process. Well, if you can get that kind of enactment driven into the tool so that the tool's doing that for you, that becomes much easier at a global scale. And so, that all sounds good, but a lot of times we're asked, where do you start? There's so much complexity. There's so many different roles involved. There are different aspects of software development, and what should you really focus on? And unfortunately, there's no easy answer because where you focus really depends on kind of your own maturity level of your teams and what your particular goals or circumstances are. And so for that, we've come up with, we've developed what we call the 5 imperatives for application lifecycle management. And these imperatives are born out of many years of working with software development teams, as well as our own processes for developing software. And so we have these 5, which we'll go through one by one, accelerating time to delivery with real-time planning. So using planning techniques that help you become more efficient in your time to delivery. Improving the quality of your software using lifecycle traceability. Maximizing your product value using in-context collaboration. Refining your predictability with development intelligence. And then reducing cost with continuous improvement. So let's look at each one of these one by one. So what is real-time planning? Real-time planning is really focusing on providing a single plan for the entire team that should span your requirements, design, development, builds, tests, and so forth to ensure that you understand the overall scope of the project. I think all too often we tend to treat each of these areas separately or in some cases not at all. We often, I've certainly personally have been on projects where we overlooked the amount of effort it would take to clearly elaborate the requirements, or we've overlooked the amount of effort required to develop all of the test cases and execute those tests. And that time wasn't taken into account in the scope of the project, which made it difficult for us to accurately determine when we would ship. The other aspect of real-time planning, the real-time aspect of it, if you will, is that planning should be integrated with execution. And by that, we mean the tasks that the users are working on, the defects that are being submitted, are all estimated at directly within the plan. And so if I'm a developer who's developing or delivering a change set, some source code, that's linked to a task, and when I claim that task is done, my plan is automatically updated. If you contrast that with teams that are either using wikis or tools that are completely outside of the development environment, then you get into a situation where somebody is walking around asking for status updates, or each of the members of the team are expected to go to the wiki and update, that their work is done. When those plans are completely out of context with the rest of the team, they're never accurate and never really up to date. And teams know this. Because it's not accurate, many team members just begin to lose interest in the plan because they know it's not accurate. But when you're using real-time planning, where the work is directly linked to execution and everything is visible and transparent, more of the team members participate. They believe in it. They know it's more accurate. And there's also a little bit of peer pressure on all of the team members to keep their work up to date. You don't want to be the one who has a bunch of open work items and you haven't closed them, or the one who's lagging on doing some approvals or so forth. So by having all of this information right in the plan directly having the plan reflect the activity of the team, the entire team is able to respond to the unexpected when it happens, and it usually does in software. We can't always predict all of the things that we're going to run into. And so some of the things to ask yourself about real-time planning is, are you planning across the entire team? Are you scoping the effort of everyone's work, not just the development effort? Are you even scoping the effort it takes to fix defects as they come up? Is that part of your planning? Are you able to plan for any type of project, whether it's a waterfall, iterative, or agile project? And do your tools support that out of the box? Is your planning integrated with execution, or are you planning, you know, outside of the development project in wikis or in some other planning tool that has absolutely no bearing on the actual activity of the team? And can you instantly see the impact of change should you decide to either add more or somebody leaves the team, somebody new comes on the team? Can you instantly load balance that work and be able to respond to that change in real time on the in the tool and having it, again, reflecting the actual activity of the team? So lifecycle traceability, what is lifecycle traceability? So as we said earlier, software is the result of many conversations across many people, and there are many handoffs across the team. The person who understands the requirements needs to hand that information to the person who is implementing or designing the implementation. Or you could say it another way, the person who is the architect is dependent on easy access to those requirements. The developer is dependent on easy access to the architectural design and the requirement. The testers are dependent on all of them. They need to know when something is being delivered by the development team. They need to know the requirements so they can accurately design their test cases and so forth. So there are a lot of dependencies across this supply chain. And so lifecycle traceability is really all about establishing the relationships between all of those artifacts that team members are dependent upon. And when you have this, you're able to identify and close gaps, which effectively improves your quality. So if you have a number of requirements that the development team isn't aware of and therefore not implementing, you're missing out on meeting your stakeholder needs. Or if your development team has implemented the requirements but the testers aren't aware of them and they're not testing them, then you are inherently have potential quality gaps because of those gaps of coverage. On the other hand, once you have those traceability links in place, you actually get to make more insightful decisions around where you want to focus the work because you have this visibility into the completeness. And by that, I mean with a really good lifecycle traceability feature, you should be able to ask questions like, show me all of the requirements that have test cases that have failed. And when you get the results, you could then inspect that and see which of these, some of those requirements may be high priority requirements, and that helps you make the decision to talk to your testers about focusing on those tests or talk to the development teams about fixing the defects within those around those requirements so that those test cases begin to pass. So you begin to steer the team based on the completeness of these planned items by leveraging those traceability links. Without those traceability links, you'd never be able to ask that kind of question. Which requirements still have open defects? Which requirements have test cases that have failed, and so forth. So lifecycle traceability helps you ask those meaningful questions, helps you steer the team, gives everyone on the team easy access to the information that they're dependent upon, and as a team, you can make more fully informed decisions. So when it comes to lifecycle traceability, we have a whole bunch of questions up here, but it's essentially meant to say, can you answer some of these harder questions or more meaningful questions that help help you steer your team towards successful delivery, helps ensure that you're driving towards high quality? questions such as, are all of the requirements tested? Do you have test cases for all of those requirements? Have you run those test cases? Have they passed? Do any of my requirements have open defects? If I'm a tester, I want to know which requirements have been implemented and are delivered in a build, because I want to know which test cases should I be running now, and so forth. So a whole lot of the more meaningful and interesting questions that you are then able to answer because you have lifecycle traceability. Our next imperative is in-context collaboration. So again, on our collaboration theme, it's all about talking to each other, whether it's team members talking to each other to make sure they understand the goals and intentions around a particular plan item or requirement, whether it's the team talking to the stakeholders to make sure that the team understands what the stakeholder is looking at for. At the end of the day, by having these kinds of conversations and capturing those conversations and decisions, a collective intelligence begins to emerge around the product that you're delivering, the software that you're delivering, and that inherently improves your product value. Information is immediately accessible to all teams. It's not locked up in silos. Conversations are occurring right within the tool in the context of the artifact rather than lost in email. Can't tell you how many times I was not included on an email thread where important decisions were being made and was essentially left in the dark because you weren't part of the email thread. But if you instead have that conversation directly on the artifact and the tool is capturing that, anyone at any time can go to that artifact and see the conversation and see the reasons for the decision that was made around a particular artifact or decision in the product. So all of this empowers the teams to collaborate and review regardless of your geographic location, regardless of your organization. If you're part of the project and you have access to the artifact, you can see the conversation that's happening around them. You can participate in reviews and approvals and participate in the decisions as they happen. And all of this creates a single source of truth that's hosted in this shared repository. So again, you can do this around the world, regardless of time zones. And 3 months, 6 months later, you can go back and see what the conversation was. It's all captured right there in the tool. So things around collaboration, you want to ask yourself, can you easily access a single source of truth through your artifacts and through the links on the artifacts to understand why you made the decisions you made? Or the alternative to that is, are the conversations happening in email or maybe in wikis that have gone stale, completely disconnected from the artifacts that are being driven by the team? And can you bring new team members up quickly? Having them, here, go look at these couple of artifacts, see the conversations that have occurred so that they can understand the background to the decisions. And, of course, how are you overcoming the barriers of multiple time zones when you're working with either outsourced or distributed team members? So things you want to think about in context collaboration. And, this one, I think, is particularly important in software because we tend to focus on the artifacts. We focus on the models. We focus on the code. We focus on the test cases. And sometimes we overlook the power of people talking and people understanding, asking questions, examining your decisions from all of the various viewpoints and coming to that collective intelligence and decision around the product that you're developing. So our next imperative here is around development intelligence. And by this, we mean applying business intelligence techniques to software and systems development. So you want to be able to establish some metrics, have some reports on dashboards indicating trends that are occurring on the team so that you can effectively measure the progress of the team. And based on what you're seeing in those dashboards and reports, be able to... the obvious is just communicating status and having that driven from the real activity of the team. So you're not doing manual status. You're just going to the dashboard and you can see the real status or using what you're seeing on those dashboards to make some decisions and corrective actions with the team. Maybe you're not seeing the right behavior happening, so you want to talk to all the team members, or maybe make a change in your process to help steer the team to deliver on time. So if, again, testing your development intelligence, can you produce the right capabilities according to the committed schedule? Are you able to see, you know, essentially the trends of the team and respond to real data? Are you making fact-based decisions? Can you drive your teams around product value and ensuring that the value you're delivering is the value your stakeholders asking, and so forth? And so, you know, all of the, you can imagine some of the imperatives we've already talked about, development intelligence becomes more inherent to the team when you're practicing those. If you have real-time planning, you get better measurements and can get better at how you steer the team. If you're using lifecycle traceability, you get a better sense of the quality of the application. If you have in-context collaboration occurring, you can be watching the reviews and the approvals and ensuring that your product value is increasing, and so forth. And, you know, I think the big one around development intelligence is that it helps to improve your predictability. With this kind of insight into the team, by measuring things such as build health or duration of builds, story points on sprints or iterations, and tracking those and looking for ways to improve those, your predictability inherently gets better. You're now seeing what's happening on the team, leveraging real data coming out of the tool, and you're using that to steer the team towards the dates that you had committed to. And so the last of our imperatives here is continuous improvement. And so you use continuous improvement to reduce your costs, and you do that in two different ways. I think we tend to always think about kind of the big bang breakthrough of continuous improvement. Oh, I'm going to make massive changes to my process, and by changing my process, we're going to see breakthrough improvement. And that certainly is one of them, and it is an approach you can take, and it is an approach that a high-class, world-class ALM solution should help you do, and help you define that process and help you enact that process, and the tool should help guide the teams to comply with that process. Absolutely. But in addition to that, you can also do incremental improvement as you move along in the project. And that can be as simple as, and we just talked about development intelligence, so it could be as simple as adding another widget on your dashboard that's measuring something you hadn't measured before, and now you have new insight into an aspect of the project, and you can incrementally improve around that. It might be as simple as creating, maybe adding another column to a plan so that you get an additional view into the project, such as a traceability view. Show me all my plan items that have links to requirements. That gives you incremental improvement on how you work with the team. And so both of these are things you want to think about around continuous improvement. Certainly automation. Automation is always a big one here. You want to automate as much as you can, whether you're automating builds, automating tests. Automation helps contribute to breakthrough improvements because you've gone from something that is slow and manual to something that is automated, something that you can measure how long it takes, and then you can work at making it faster. So with continuous improvement, by enabling simple incremental improvements that anyone can do, or whether you're doing breakthrough improvements through adoptions of best practices, automations, changes to your process, everyone can then participate in improving on the project. So when it comes to continuous improvement, you want to ask, can your team or does your ALM solution allow you to leverage out-of-the-box process templates for traditional or agile workflows? Can you modify that template to suit your own needs? Can you change the process on the fly as the team is working, be able to make tweaks to that to try to encourage and guide the team towards a successful completion? Can you, when needed, make the process rules more strict or ease up on the process rules to allow a bit more freedom of behavior? Can you easily make changes to dashboards, to plans? Can teams use templates, work item templates, that simply make something that you commonly use really simple to do over and over again? So you really want to set that as a goal, that you can do that, but also you want to have that as a requirement on an ALM solution, that it should be easy for your teams to do this. You want it to support you in your efforts to continually improve. So that was kind of the long view of that. If you're looking for a simple 5-minute explanation of the five imperatives, I have a URL here. We have this cute little whiteboard animation that talks you through each of these imperatives. So if at any time you want to share that with someone else on your team, the URL is here that you can go. It is behind a registration. You just need to register, and then you can watch that video. So why don't we transition into what's new with the Rational Solution for Compliance for Collaborative Lifecycle Management. So as I said earlier, this is one of our ALM solutions. It's supporting the five ALM imperatives that we just talked about. And this solution is composed of Rational Requirements Composer that helps you capture, elaborate, define, manage your requirements. Rational Team Concert, which is a leading product for development teams that help you plan, manage your source code, conduct builds, use dashboards, manage change, affect your process specifications and so forth in a tightly integrated collaborative environment, and Rational Quality Manager that is focused on helping test teams manage quality, so developing your test plans, test cases, test scripts, executing those tests, capturing the results of those tests. And so, is there a question?
No, sorry, I need to go on mute.
Okay.
My apologies.
Nope, no problem. So all of these products working together in some very simple license structures that make it easy for you to use together. And I think we'll get to all of the new features in a second. So this solution it supports heterogeneous development across multiple platforms and technologies. So if you it's the only product on the market that allows J2EE and mainframe development to occur in the same environment. So it's very common that you have these complex applications in many of our organizations. So the same solution can be used for a team that's developing both, as well as support for .NET as well. So all of this is built on Jazz. Jazz provides open collaboration across the whole lifecycle. This has been our strategy for some time, was to develop the Jazz architecture, the Jazz integration architecture, as well as providing the frameworks for new products that we've developed, such as the three that I just talked about in the CLM solution, but also for providing integration framework for other products that aren't necessarily built directly on Jazz. And we also provide these integrations through our support for Open Services for Lifecycle Collaboration. This is a community-driven set of specifications that are designed to inspire and facilitate integration across multiple tools in the application lifecycle. So ideally, as an organization, you can combine a different set of development tools in that software lifecycle and have them integrate easily because of their support for the OSLC specifications. So let's quickly talk about what's new in the Rational Solution for Collaborative Lifecycle Management. There's actually a lot in this release, and it just released on June 14th. It's available now. You can download the solution from jazz.net, and a tremendous amount of new functionality in this year's solution. I've listed four main themes here, three of which are all introducing the features. The fourth is a self-hosting bullet where we always self-host on what we develop. And so the team that developed the solution is self-hosting on that solution. And what that means for you is we're using it before you see it. We're finding the problems. We're fixing the problems because we also are using it. We self-host on each milestone as we go. So let's talk about the first three where we have packed with new features. So in terms of reducing the cost of ownership and administration, we put a big focus here on this release so that there is one download that you download once, and when you go to install, all of the capabilities that are in Requirements Composer, Team Concert, and Quality Manager are all there on that single install. And it's actually not that big. It's under a gig, which I think it's like 700 megabytes is the download. So it's not that big. It's all there in a really simple, easy install wizard. In terms of packaging, we've simplified the licensing. There's effectively, the summary is three primary authoring type licenses, an analyst, a developer, and a quality manager or quality professional. And then there's another license for contributors across that solution. So really simple licensing now. And when you install the capabilities, if you want to add additional users, you simply buy a license, and it turns on the capability you need. So what that means is if you just start with a developer license, say, but you've installed the capabilities and maybe you decide you want to add some testers and some analysts, you add those client access licenses to your installation, and those capabilities become enabled. There's no additional install, so really simple to grow with your team. All of the platform support is the same across the board, so it's much easier to deploy, much more flexible deployment options. It's easier to administer. There's a single user and project administration user interface now for administrating, one of these lifecycle projects. And there's a sample application that you can deploy in about three clicks, and you get a really rich application that shows you, has a whole bunch of requirements in it, development plans, or release and iteration plans, work items, source code, builds, test plans, test cases, test scripts, and you can then go and explore the solution. And the five imperatives we just talked about, you can see how the solutions helps to support you in developing around those five imperatives. In terms of cross-product visibility and reporting, there's now out-of-the-box a cross-capability reporting solution. So you can run traceability reports across all. They all share the same data warehouse. That data warehouse can also be used by Rational Insight. So one common data warehouse, a set of rich reports out of the box as part of the solution. We also have enhanced traceability views. This is hard to describe, a lot easier with a picture, but I don't have one. But a traceability view is essentially a grid, if you will, where you can set the columns so that you can see which requirements are related to which plan items, related to which test cases. And at a glance, you can see where you have traceability gaps, and you can fix those gaps right in the context of that view. We also have more lifecycle queries, so you can ask those interesting questions, such as, show me all the requirements with test cases that have failed. Show me all the plan items without test cases. Show me plan items with defects, and so forth. We've added personal dashboards. So as a user, you can create your own dashboard and that follows you anywhere you go in the solution. So you can always access your personal dashboard so that you can set up whatever kind of widgets you want on that dashboard. And we also introduce a mini dashboard, which is really pretty cool. That follows you. It's always accessible in the UI. It's a little sidebar icon that when you click on it, it opens up the mini dashboard, and you can put handy widgets there, such as, you know, maybe you want to put something like My Tasks, My Open Defects, My Approvals right there. So anywhere in the UI, you can open the mini dashboard and respond to items on that dashboard. On our third theme, we now have work items for all team members. So you can create work items for your analysts, for your testers, for your developers, for your release engineers. Those work items can all be, they're all part of your plan. So now you can plan the work and the scope for the entire team, and all of that is tracked in the system so that you can effectively support the real-time planning imperative. We have some additional link types around the traceability arena, and then we've enhanced our consumability and common style. We're constantly looking for ways to make the products easier to use so that you can get up and running quickly. I'm just looking at the time. I think we'll have to go quickly through these next couple of slides. These couple of slides, now we focus on, actually I should say, to learn more about what's new, you can go to jazz.net, go to the Collaborative Lifecycle Management Project, and click on the Features menu, and you can learn a lot about the features for Collaborative Lifecycle Management. The other place you could go is when you go to jazz.net, go to the Downloads page of any of these three products, Requirements Composer, Team Concert, or Quality Manager, and there's a new and noteworthy link. And on the new and noteworthy tab, you'll see a link to an article about what's new. So you can get a lot more detail about what's new there. So some common questions we get are how to adopt, what's you know, kind of an adoption path, where do I start? So I have three slides that can quickly talk there. We see many teams start with source code. Development teams typically start with needing a source code management system. And then they want to start tracking their changes, tracking their defects, tracking their work, and tracking builds. And with Team Concert, these are all integrated as part of the tool. They all come out of the box. And then you get to the point where you want to harness your backlog because you're getting lots of requests that are coming in, and you want to start planning those against releases and against iterations, and you use the planning component for that. And then you can mature into dashboards for steering your sprints. And leveraging those dashboards for the development intelligence imperative. Any of these places along the way, we provide integrations with existing systems. We understand that many teams have already made investments in an SCM, for example. So to adopt Team Concert, you don't have to get rid of your SCM. It's most likely that if we don't provide the integration out of the box, one of our business partners does. So anywhere along this path, whether it's an SCM, whether it's a build automation tool, we have integrations that help you kind of wrap Team Concert around that so that you can leverage things like real-time planning and the dashboards, process enactment, and so forth. When working with Rational Quality Manager, some of the first steps are many teams usually have a bunch of test cases in spreadsheets or Word documents. So you want to bring those test cases into the system to get them under control. And what that gives you is the ability to reuse those test cases. You essentially link them to a test plan and have your test scripts linked to those as well. And then when you execute the test, you capture those results. And you can leverage, again, the dashboards for steering your efforts. When you find defects, we have integrations with enterprise change management systems. One of the integrations here, naturally, is with Team Concert. The defect you're submitting is accessible to developers who are then responding to those defects, so it's all nicely integrated. But you might have other systems such as ClearQuest that you need to submit those defects to. So we have integrations there as well. And, of course, testers need easy access to the requirements. So whether you use the requirements that come out of the box with Quality Manager or you integrate with a requirements management system such as Requirements Composer, you want to be able to understand your requirements and link your test cases to the requirements to ensure that you're covering all the tests. So, again, you can use the tool with all of its capabilities out of the box, but we also provide integrations through the life cycle to help you fit it into your organization. And then when you get to Requirements Composer, you can import your Word documents and decompose those into requirements for reuse. That way you can have discussions around those requirements. You can begin to refine them if those requirements are linked to other documents or embedded in other documents and reused throughout the system. You make a change on the requirements and all of its dependencies are automatically updated. You can then, once you have them managed in the system, begin conducting reviews, comments, approvals, and so forth around those requirements. You can organize them into collections that says, this is the set of requirements we want to address in a particular release. And again, integrations with various vendors along the life cycle. And then the last slide here is we're always asked about is, you know, do I have to use those three products together? Well, I'm hoping the last three slides help you understand. No, you don't. You can use, we provide integrations all throughout the life cycle with multiple tools, multiple vendors, as well as homegrown systems. So whether it's directly supported from Rational or through one of our business partners, you can we can work with you to help create the ALM solution that fits within your environment. And we do a lot of this by adopting and implementing the OSLC specifications to help enable those integrations. And I think... Oh, right. So many, many, many business partners. This is just some. We want to put this out there because, we can't always support every integration possible because there are many different tools throughout the entire life cycle. And so we have a very deep business partner community that works with us to provide either integrations with existing tooling or extensions to what we offer. And in some cases, we also have business partners that help you migrate off tools where you might find that you like what we have to offer better, but you want to get your data off of one of those existing tools. So we certainly have business partners that help you with that too. So if you want to get started, you want to learn more at jazz.net, you can easy to become a member, get yourself an ID, and you're free to move all about the website. We do everything in the open. You can see our project plans. You can submit work items. You can participate in the forums, or you can read all about the projects. And so I have the Collaborative Lifecycle Management link here that you can go to that project page and learn more. If you want to download the software, we provide free downloads with a trial license that works for a while and then will expire, but it helps you to kick the tires. Or I don't think we have it on here. We do have a Rational Team Concert in a sandbox environment where you can deploy. We'll host it for you, and you can deploy a project and kick the tires of Rational Team Concert right on jazz.net. And I think that's probably a wrap for today. I want to thank you and turn it over to Stephanie.
Thanks, Taran. If any of you have any additional feedback or questions, feel free to post on the jazz.net forum. As well, the slide deck will be posted on jazz.net forum and on DeveloperWorks, so you can have access to the links that were mentioned in the slides. We're just going to do a quick polling question. Becca, can you go ahead with this?
Yes, one moment, please. Today's polling question was this session useful, please press star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, and star 3 for somewhat useful. Once again, was this session useful, star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, or star 3 for somewhat useful? Yeah, that concludes the polling session.
Thanks, Becca. And this concludes the 2011 RTC and Jobs Open Mic Series. I want to thank Carolyn and all of our other speakers throughout the series for joining us, as well as all of you for participating. Have a great afternoon. Bye.